Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for the song service. Thank you for the hearts that have been drawn closer to you in this hour. And we pray that there's one who doesn't know Christ as Savior. They see they're right at the door. And Jesus Christ is the door. And Lord, all they have to do is walk through by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the precious word of God. And now we're fixing to open this book again. We're incapable to understand it by ourselves. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit of God that you promised in many places that you'd give to us. We believe you kept that promise on the day we got saved. And now that Holy Spirit's trying to help us understand what he inspired men to write as we each individual study this book from the spiritual standpoint, spiritual side, that we might feed the spiritual man and begin to bring the flesh in control as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord in many ways of our lives that the world don't understand, but God's people do, and that's what we conform to by. Because we're transformed, we don't conform ourselves to the world, but we are transformed, and by transformation, know what the perfect and good will of God is, that we might also know what it is he'd have us to do in this life. Now, honor you yourself today as we open this precious book and help us grow in that grace and knowledge, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. A couple weeks ago, we started a mission here on a subject, the storm that turned into a miracle. And we've been looking at the Apostle Paul's life, and this past week we saw that in the shipwreck that he was in, and of course, again, we go back and we know that Paul had been on board a ship, and for those that have not been with us, been on board of a ship with 275 other people, and now they had shipwrecked. And then in chapter 28, we saw that at the beginning of that, they ended up on an island, and the island's named Melita. And here, we began to see some things that had taken place. Now, God has taken Paul to Rome. Paul knows that. The others don't. Paul knows that because God had already told him he's going to Rome. And so now, as he heads to Rome, but Paul didn't know that God's going to take him the roundabout way that he went. Now, I said last week, if you're born again, you know you're going to heaven. But he didn't tell you the route you'd have to take to get there. He didn't tell you the different things you'd have to face to get there. But he did promise us, because we're saved, he'd give us his spirit, the down payment of our eternal life, and in turn, he lives with us to get us on the other side in a glorified body. And now, we look at this and we learn some things about our own lives. We note here that the Apostle Paul had already told the sailors back in chapter 27, verse 10, that they should not leave Crete because the storm was bad. He's saying, listen, God has shown me we need to stay here, but the captain seemed to listen to the ship owner and the sailors more than it did to what Paul. Though he listened to Paul in verse 3 of the chapter before this and let him have freedom among some of the saints that in some of the ports he was in. But then, now, later in the storm, when they could have missed the storm by being in dock at a port, they decided when the winds draw down a little, and didn't want it as bad, that they take ship going further because they're headed towards Rome. And so now he told the sailors, again, I say, if you'd listen to me, verses later, if you listen to me, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in. But since you didn't listen to me, I want you to know God has appeared to him again and told him that he was going to go to Rome. They're going to the apostle on the island, didn't tell them where the island was at, and we know that it's somewhere between Cilicia and Italy and Africa. It's a little dot in the Mediterranean Sea, in turn where you can't hardly see it, and you can find it, but you can't hardly see it. And God saw fit that even though he had a shorter trip to get to Rome, to go that way, because there's things that's going on in God's plan and purpose, even with Paul's life, that Paul don't understand until he gets where he's at. And the thing about Paul had in his mind, ladies, listen to me carefully. The thing that Paul had in his mind, that wherever he went, where he was in Jerusalem, Rome, or Maeta, he's going to preach Jesus Christ. So where he's at in his life journey, from the time he got saved in Acts chapter 9, to God gets him home, and even if he's going to Rome, wherever he's at, his message is Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection. And so when he goes where he goes, he's always acted with that message. And we need to think the same thing. Whatever we may face in this life, if you'll say the first and foremost thing is the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ of this lost world, and then that which in turn God may give us who've been saved to help others who are saved to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so now I began to see some things as we look in Acts chapter 28, and we're going to go through this and read some verses and paraphrase some others as we put it together, for this is the last part of this trip that Paul's going to Rome. And when I see this at this particular time, I notice that sometimes things are not due to Satan. By the way, nowhere can you find this storm is due to Satan. It is just working through the meteorology that God set up the way storms work. And in this time, you see that where they start their course, look well, they get out there of the sea, a storm comes up, and of course then they find themselves being driven by the wind. The wind controls the boat where it goes, but God controls the wind. And when he controlled the wind to drive the boat, it went exactly where God needed to go, because Paul was on that boat, and Paul was the one could only be used to reach those wonderful people down there in Maeti in turn before they get to Rome. And so we see that sometimes things are not due to Satan, but they're the results of our poor decisions. I always think about that picture I told about years ago. I saw one day Satan standing beside the road about a mile from the church, just weeping, just barren weeping. Someone said, "What's the matter?" He said, "All those people in that church, they now blame me for everything." That's the way it is. But sometimes it's because we're frail and our poor decision. Now, any time that we go against God in something that he says us to do, Satan solved that. But sometimes we're making decisions about things because we reason out it should be a certain way. And in turn, because the flesh is like it is, it's not always good decisions, though we may think it is. And you have to wait on God. You have to be sure you're in the scriptures. And if you do, wait on the scriptures. Wait on God and see what God does. Because when you do what God says to do the best, God will do the rest. But you got to wait on him. And so that's what we're seeing here. It took, 14 days plus to get them where they were in this storm. Not counting the other days, but then in the storm itself at this particular time. And so when he talks about, when we talk about that, sometimes things are not due to Satan, but due to results of our decision. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 54. Years ago, before Isaiah, when he was alive and he was writing, and this is probably some from our day, now 700 plus years before Christ came, 2,000 years now, 2,700 years ago, but always amazes me. He said in verse 13, watch what God says about when God gives his word to people. He said there's somebody that just won't listen. They just won't listen. Brother Keith got in that this morning, and he's hit the Bible. He just don't listen. And notice what he says he will do for those that listen. He said in verse 13, all thy children shall be taught the Lord of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near unto thee. Because if they obey what God sends them, this is what's going to happen. And by the way, he taught this to Israel, and the same thing goes for us in the age of grace. You look at Paul's writings. And then he goes on and said, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not for me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall by for thy sake. He said, they'll be gathered against you as my people who is walking in righteousness, walking within the word of God, but that not I gathering it. Satan may be gathered, but one thing is sure, Satan can't ever overrule God. Greater is he in us than he's in the world. But behold, I've created the smith. That is, these are arsenals, he said, the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth in instruments in your work. And I have created the water, waster to destroy. But notice, I've allowed all these things, created these things to happen. But he says this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. They may think it will, but it will not prosper. He said simply this, at every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness in me, saith the Lord. That means simply this, if you find the scriptures, you walk with the scriptures, you use the scriptures, God will vindicate everything that goes against the scriptures, and that's what we're seeing here. This time, Paul is not going to Rome directly, but he's going to be used of God, and others who are involved with that don't even know what's going on at the time, except they learn to listen to God's word to some degree. Even unsaved people will learn to listen to God's word. And especially if we get closer at the end and see what's going to happen as far as age is concerned. And so I'm seeing him. Sometimes we sabotage our own self by forming weapons against ourselves. Storms are hard to address in life. In storms that we do not create, we are to be faithful through the test, even if we didn't create them. And on the other hand, I'm glad that I can call upon God in any situation I get in, any situation that you and I might be getting in, we can call upon God, because He said in the age of grace, the day we got saved, He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that simply means this. They didn't know a lot of things about going on, except Paul said, Paul, you're going to Rome. Except Paul said, God said to Paul, you're going to Rome. No one else knew anything about going to Rome, getting there. They thought they weren't going to get there according to this storm. But He's setting forth this wonderful truth in the age of grace, ladies and gentlemen. He lives in us. Therefore, we never face any storm alone if you're saved. He's there. Sometimes He may kind of sit by the wayside and see, allow us to see what we would do. Sometimes we need to have God deliver us from a situation that we create ourselves. And after all, if we are alive, we have stuff, we have things that we are dealing with in this life. And if we will be honest, a lot of those things do not make sense. This storm didn't make sense. The Paul knowing he's going to Rome. The others probably just thought it's a storm that comes up. But in this case, Paul was going to Rome, but this storm didn't make sense. The fact he had to go the way he went, way out of the way. But he still ended up in Rome. But wherever he was at, Jerusalem, Rome, or Maiti, he was living for God. That's what he was doing. It didn't make no difference to him if it took a year to get to Rome. Matter. Wherever he's at, he's going to live for God. When he gets to Rome, he's going to live for God too. By the way, that's what should be every child of God. Wherever you're at, you're going to be living for God if you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't understand what living for God is. We have our own ideas. We have our own gods. We have our own thinking. We have our own religion. But if you're saved, you can't be saved but one way, and that's the way God says that we're to be saved. And so if I look at this and I see that if we be honest, we realize that a lot of things just don't make sense because tension in our hearts rise up. Why do I have to go through this situation in life? Why did this happen to me? That's a reason that we do in life. We try to reason everything out. And folks, I found a long time ago, you and I cannot reason everything out that God allows us to go into. But I tell you this, He'll give you revelation sooner or later why you had to do it. God deals with revelation. That's what this book is about. And the revelation helps us understand things we cannot understand. My reason. If you find yourself in a storm, get in this book if you're saved. If you had not saved, this book won't help a person, except every time you read, it's going to try to draw you to the Lamb of God. But being saved, get in this book, and you'll find God will sooner or later quit making reasons and start looking for the blessed revelation that God gives us, the answer of why something happens. If we create it, or if He created it for us, we'll understand it. If we create it, He'll let us know real fast, like if sin's involved, because that's when we begin to really take our note before God Almighty. We have a reason so we can see how it's going to turn out. That's the way we look at things. But if you look in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 20, we don't need a reason. God says we need a revelation. And I need to understand this as I get into this. I can't read this whole thing. But notice in verse 16 of chapter 3, He's talking about of whom He would grant you, that God would grant the child of God according to His riches, His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And a lot of times you can't understand, it's the inner man that has to be strengthened, the new book creation in Christ, the growing grace and love of the Lord, before you can manifest outwardly the thing that goes on. So many things God allows it to take place because the inner man will grow. He said, why? That Christ may dwell in you, your hearts, by faith, that you've been rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. And I think that's anything that you and I face. He's let us know God has it covered. And He goes on and He says that, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. God's word passes knowledge. And then when we find things that we're in, we seek His word. And while we're seeking a reason why something is happening, God will give us a satisfied peace of mind. Because His word passes knowledge because of Jesus Christ, who is the living word that the written word tells us about in this life. And so now, I may not know what island I may end up on as far as life. I may never end up on an island like He did that had to do with ships and currents and weather. But everything you and I face in life that becomes an object is a type of an island. It's a type of separation in turn we get involved with that we have to either live, fight, whatever it is we have to do, we find ourselves in that. And in that error or circumstance, God helps us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord if this book has been hid in our heart like it should be. And so I look and I find out, I may not know what island I may end up on, but I know this, that God will show up because He lives in me. It isn't that he leaves me when it happens. It's just fact that if I'm not where I should be, the Word of God in my heart's not what I should be, I won't feel him to see what he's doing, except the fact I may feel convicted because of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not going to allow us to be in sin and not feel convicted. You think Jesus Christ was convicted? You think that God one day at the great white throne judgment not going to convict people? Well, the Holy Spirit also does that. And when he moves in, he's there to help us that we may at least understand what it means to walk with God. And so now they're on Maeti, an island which is relative. And what amazes me to the Canaanites, this word means, isn't it amazing? This word, Canaanite, Maeti, means refuge. Isn't it amazing that God stormed their end, sent them to an island which was a refuge for them, though they didn't even know, I doubt they even know the island exists. This island was about 20 miles long, 12 miles broad, lying between Sicily and Africa. When they got there, in verse 1 and 2, we find that they call them barbarous people. But it didn't mean barbarous in the sense that they were, you know, evil and trying to destroy them, because they treated them kindly. Sin didn't come through the storm. So one thing had to do at this time, barbarous, meant that it was a language they did not understand. And therefore, since they could not understand it, they didn't know whether they were received or not until they saw the deeds begin to be done. Sometimes you may not understand a language, but you can understand deeds. Right? I will never forget when I went to Holy Land years ago, the first time with a group. We was in Palestine in Jerusalem. And when you went there, you didn't never pay what they had in the Jewish shop. You didn't ever pay on street work. You didn't pay what they asked for. I mean, you know, you were told, don't give them what they asked for, they'll come down. They had something I was going to get and come, and it was a drawing of the Eastern Wall. Wanted $15 for it. I said, no, I won't give you 10. I wouldn't get that. And so I was going to sign, though, when we left the night before. It was always at the door of the hotel. I was going to buy it when I got ready to leave from Jerusalem, or from the old city of Jerusalem. And so the last day I come up, this guy knew I was a preacher. He seen me. He sent there his shop, little shop outside every day. And I went in, and he said that day, won't you buy? I said, yeah. I said, what are you going to let me have? He said, $3. Man, I pulled it right there and gave it to him. And while I was pulling out, giving it to him, the lady inside the door saw me. And she said, sir, could I ask you something? She said, I saw you give him $3 for that little picture of the Eastern Wall. It was long, but it was narrow. I have it in my office now. And I said, yeah. And she came to that door. She said, I want to ask you a question. How in the world could you let him have it for $3 and charge me $5 for it? She'd already come down for $15. And he said this. We'll never forget. He said, lady, he said, I maketh a deal with him, and I maketh a deal with you. Well, I thought, yeah, well, I did that and got to Rome. And that night we went down to the city in Athens, and I was going to get a bill I saw for Barbara. And I saw it, and I saw what it was. It was like $15 or so, $12, $15. And I kept saying, I couldn't understand a thing. She couldn't understand me. And I said, five. I could understand what the price was. I said, five. The third time I said that, she said, I knew she said, get out that door. I didn't understand a word I said. She said, but she pointed to that door. You don't, listen, you may get a Jew to come down. You won't get a Roman to come down. That's how I found that out. I don't know how you told that. But anyhow, that's the way things are. So here I find out that tensions are hard. They rise up. We ask questions sometimes at this time. They were barbarous people, but they spoke an intelligent language. And they were given over a kind reception, it says, as we see in the next verse, in verse 2. And here they build a fire to dry them out. Now this boat, this ship, it actually bigger than a boat, had disintegrated. And everybody on that ship, all 276 people, lived. They got on board, some swam in, got on board. Everyone of them survived, but the ship didn't survive. Now these islands were looking at this, and they saw the ship disintegrate. So they come and they build a fire, and Paul, being the man he is, he's not a lazy man. He goes over and picks up some sticks in the verse. And he got him in his arm, went back to the fire. And when he goes to put it into fire, a viper snatches onto him. If you don't believe that, look down about verse 3. And that viper grabs hold of his hand. And he comes out of the fire, comes out like this where the fire's at, and he sees it, but Paul doesn't panic. These people know that's a snake. No doubt they had been bit by the snake like that. And they looked a long time to see if he's going to fall down and chew his tongue and finally die. And all Paul did was shake the snake off in the fire. Guess the fire consumed him and kept doing what he was doing. Didn't say a word, you find. And they watched him. And they watched him. And they said, you know, this must have been an evil man. This is their reasoning. Must have been an evil man. He must have something really bad for that vineyard snake to attack him like that. Hey, the gods of the ships, where they come from, he was shipwrecked. Evidently, for him to survive the shipwreck, whatever reason, then the snake to bite him, they said he must have been. I mean, in fact, they could let him survive the shipwreck. They didn't understand that. But after surviving the shipwreck, said, well, there must have been something really wrong with this man. And since the snake only bit Paul, they thought Paul may have been the reason for the shipwreck. And he shaked it off. And they watched him. And they watched him. And they didn't change. They didn't, as you go through this, it says, and he shook off the beast in verse 5, the fire, and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down in verse 6, dead suddenly. But after that, they looked a great while. Now note what the people reasoned. Most reasons miss the mark in life. Why do we want to list 10 reasons for crisis when they don't know the reason? In a crisis, trying to reason is not important. The important thing is that unless there's known sin, it's good to reason if there's known sin to correct it. But ladies and gentlemen, what is important in something like this is response. It's not reason. How do we respond to the situation? Trying to figure out the reason, we never would. We don't have the ability unless it's something you can see obvious. But in turn, how do you respond? That's the thing about serving God. How do you respond when things come up? Do you find Scripture and try to live by it? Do you find yourself just reasoning yourself out of something? This is what happened here. See, they changed when they saw he didn't fall down. Man, this man now, they said he's not someone that's evil or someone that the gods are trying to destroy. They said he's a God himself. Now they're looking at him as a God. He didn't die like the others died. And now they're amazed at this man and in turn begin to pay more attention to him as you see what takes place. You see, when you have to have a reason, your faith is only taking so far. But in a situation, God will always show up in that gaze of grace because he's already there by his Spirit. And I love that because he protects us in any situation. We need to remember as to who God is. Ask Lazarus. They sent for Jesus before he ever died. He died, and 4 days later, Jesus come. Ask Lazarus about this man, Jesus. And he'll just say to you, I don't know. He's just the resurrection and the life. Ask the 3 Hebrew children that fit in the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel about this man, God. I don't know, but I tell you, he's real. He's the 4th man in the fire. And when the fire touched us, it didn't hurt us, but it burnt our bones off. Ask the apostles when they see a figure walking on the water. They say, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. He's a man that can walk on the water. Amen. Ask them when he said, they came to him and said on the Sea of Galilee, Lord, aren't you concerned that we're going to die? And Jesus said, where's your faith? Moves back to the ship and says, peace. Be still. 3 words. And the apostles were afraid. What kind of man is this that the storms will bow down to him? Aren't you glad we got one like that? The man, Christ Jesus, who is God, the Son, Emmanuel, came and took on a body of flesh and sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for every born-again child of God that's ever been saved. Well, you and I, we need that, folks, in this life. And so we go home. My reason does not determine my future. My response determines my future. Verse 5 and 6, my faith may not remove the situation, didn't remove Paul's, but I'm still more than a conqueror, just like Paul. Paul got into shipwreck, Paul was bitten by a snake, and yet Paul lived. He was more than a conqueror. And you know, in the age of grace, God has promised every child of God in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 that we're more than a conqueror. So what has happened to Paul? Paul was in prison for being a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He never harmed anyone since he got saved, before he was killing Christians, before Acts chapter 9. He was in this storm. He got rain, he got wet. He was cold in a place called refuge, unfamiliar, cannot communicate to the language problems. And yet Paul understood that anywhere he goes, God was with him. Amen. Better than that, God is with him. And I say to you, if you're born again, God gave us his Holy Spirit. He's with us too. And that's the reason Paul said, beware. You can grieve the Holy Spirit if you don't believe. Read in what Paul told the church at Ephesus. And so today, this Miletus place is a place that you did not want to go, but you had to go there in God's will. And it hurts, yes. It's hard to get through, yes. But do like Paul. I like this when Paul shook the snake off. I'll be honest with you, I'd have panicked. Wouldn't you? Praise God, I've been worried to death. But you know what? You got to learn to trust God. Paul knew God had told him he's going to Rome. He told him in this storm, you're going to be on the island, but you're going to Rome. So when that venomous snake bit him, that snake can't override God's will and God's power. He just shook it off. Could it be God is telling us there are some things in life we need to just shake off? Amen. Shake it off. If we are not the cause of it, or if we are the cause of it and it's out of the will of God, shake it off. Whatever it is that we're in that Satan began to stop us or hinder us for doing what God has called us to do, God help us to have the ability to shake it off and not stop. Listen, if you shake it off, you can't stop serving God. You can't stop giving to God. You can't stop doing the things you used to do and say you shook it off. See, listen, Paul couldn't shake it off and say, listen, I'm not going to Rome after this storm. I'm not going to go to Rome after this snake bite, I tell you that. Listen, Paul didn't get up that day and say, you know, I'm going to surprise these people. I'm going to let a snake bite me so I'm surprised. He didn't say that. But one did bite him, didn't he? It may not be a snake, but it could be something else that we face in our pathway to try to stop us from serving God. And I love what I see in this great thing. We feel sometimes if we serve God, that we will have peace. But sometimes shipwreck shows us that our theology is that sometimes peace is not with us, even in a shipwreck until God gets us to a certain point. But I tell you this, we are conquerors, more than conquerors. And I tell you this, God said his peace, he'd give us his peace. And sometimes that peace passes understanding rather than actually having a peace that we thought we'd reason to have. So they judge Paul as doing something wrong, you see in verse 4, and they plot a reason for it, and this is what all people generally do. Everybody tries to reason everything out instead of going to the scripture and find what God has to say about it. They judge Paul as doing something wrong, applied a reason. This is what they do, and we don't need a reason. I've already told you we need a revelation. God gives us a purpose. And Paul said, I have faith in God, and God's revelation exceeds my reasoning. But the other end, I look and say, when I look at it, no, wait a minute. God's revelation, I find I need this to show my reason. God's revelation exceeds my reason, so I need this to show me that there's a reason, and God gives the reason through the revelation rather than me just guessing at something. Paul knew that he was going to Rome. And when God promises you something, you cannot change it. Nothing that people can think, say, or do can change God's purpose in one's life if you find your purpose line up with the Scriptures. Your faith may not keep you from getting bit by a snake, but you can make sure your refuge, a place that you're in, your refuge, a place you might be in, can be a mission field or can be a place of misery. And Paul said, no, it's going to be a mission field for me. This boat's going to be a mission field. And God came to him and gave him assurance. This field's going to be a mission field. I'm here. I've got to wait. We're going to get out later. And you find over in the next verse, we find that they finally got a ship out of there about 3 months later in verse 11. But all the time he was there, some great things happened. And some wonderful things happened to the Apostle Paul. Your faith may not keep you from getting bit by a snake, but you can make your refuge, again, I may say, a place of misery or a place of mission. It was not Paul's fault that he was in Maiti. Would you at least say amen to that? Paul certainly did not want to deal with a snake bite. The proof of our mature faith is not that you got through a situation, but that you served God through and after the crisis you went through. Verse 4 is why we should never live according to the opinions of others, people without God's word. People's minds and reason can change with the wind. It's very easy to say, boy, he's in jail looking at Willie Quattle. I wonder what he did. You know, especially when you see somebody who's serving God, all of a sudden the world thinks, well, he must have done something real bad. Well, he may have, but only God knows that. Well, we have to trust him and see what the end of the crisis is to make that decision. The proof, again, is who we are in Jesus Christ. People will change their minds. There's no doubt about that. Like I said before, they will really call you Emmanuel one day, and then they say, crucify you next. We see that in Jesus Christ, and he was the perfect one that lived on this earth. People will change their minds, and when they do that, we find it's just like whatever the week. We reason, we check balance, and we check with the fallen man that we have rather than the new man that God has made us. And so what started out as a mistake turned into a miracle for the people of Maiti. Paul did not die from the snake bite. He must have been special now, they said, and we see why. Verse 7, there was a fellow there who took him in who was Publius, and here his dad was sick. And when Paul heard about it and says he'd been so kind to him, he just went in and laid his hands on him and prayed for him. And amazing, the very hand that the snake bit is the very hand that laid on his Philippus' dad to heal him. And he got well. And then they brought others to him at this time, and they were made well. Paul received these people. Paul received the real reason through the revelation as to why his ship wrecked on that island now. Again, the winds control the boat, but God controlled the winds. Now, Paul realizes his mission in Maiti. May God help us not get so positioned in our situation that we fail to understand the mission. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, God saved your soul. He saved your soul for the purpose to represent him until he gets you home. Hey. That's the reason he gave us the Holy Spirit of God. One of the hands that the snake bit is one of the hands that laid on Publius' dad. And what Paul went through was not for nothing. And I began to think earlier this morning, Paul thought that he needed Maiti for a place for his ship to crash. But in reality, Maiti needed Paul. In fact, they needed Paul more than Paul needed them. And God sent him by there. Paul did not choose the situation, but he did choose to trust God. Do you feel that you're stuck in a situation from time to time? Maybe you're not stuck, but just stationed there for your mission. Now, I'm not talking about personal decision where we leave God out. That's our own doing. If you're serving God and suddenly you're faced with something you had nothing to do with whatsoever, and you had to make a decision about you get in this book and find what God says, do you plant it out? And if it's not working, you just leave it there and watch God do the rest. He'll do the rest, folks. I either believe this book or I wouldn't trust Christ as my Savior. Anybody been around me much know every time you talk to me, everything we talk about, I go to the scriptures and lay out some principle where God has shown us in turn will work anything that we face, personally, family, or otherwise. You can't control everything, but one thing for sure, God is controlling everything. You'll see in the end because he's going to end it up right on the end. And so I thank God Almighty. Maybe we're not stuck, but sometimes it's amazing while the ship crew planned. Here's what got me. While the ship crew planned for the shipwreck here on this island, God was planning for a revival. And they had that in this home. Amazing me what happened. What happened in our lives must go through a filtration system of our faithfulness to see what it was intended for. And once you see that in a crisis, we don't need reasoning. We need revelation about God's will. Sometimes God takes time to give us revelation. And let's go back again. I read to you in Ezekiel. I'll read it again for fact of just 16 through 19. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, height, depth, and that's anything you face, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And he's talking about any situation that you find. Ladies and gentlemen, what an amazing story where God turned a storm into a miracle to reach a little island halfway between Sicily and Africa. No one knew about but God and a few that were there, and caused a great movement of people getting saved, healed, and also understanding who the true and living God was. And he used Paul. And then Paul did get the wrong rest of the story. You can see that. What I'm saying to you, if you know nothing else, you listen this morning, one of the churches are going on Ustream, the radio in a few minutes. God sent Paul through a storm way out of the way to Maiti so they could have a meeting with God. One day, God sent somebody by you. Where were you at? It might have so winter on Saturday, Thursday night or one day in the week. It might have been someone just as where you was at in a business transaction. Everywhere you got saved, when I got saved, that morning God sent someone by so I could hear the gospel clearly and be born into the family of God. Now, folks, listen to me. Don't tell me that God doesn't love humanity. And don't tell me that God hadn't given him the source. And don't tell me that we're so educated today that what used to be with God is not, that we've learned that really God is no more than just what we make him. I want to tell you something. The God of this Bible is not something you and I make. He made us. And I'm glad he didn't leave us unsaved. I'm glad he came to and knocked on my heart's door. A religious man sitting on the pew. I hated alcohol, so I didn't worry about that. But there's so many other things involved in just something like that. You name two or three things you hate, but there's many other things than that. And sitting on a church pew, religious, why? Hard person to reach. This word is powerful source, and God uses it to break down the wall in turn that we will listen with our heart as we filtrate it with our mind. We cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He reached down, way down, and lifts us out the mire, sin, and placed us on a rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave us his Spirit and preserved word that the Spirit that lives in us could take and put and hide in our heart that we know something that the world says we're fools. And we look at it and say, only a fool said there's no God. If you're not saved today, I beg you to trust him. If you're listening by radio other ways, I beg you to trust him. Because the only thing that'll get you out of this world in the presence of God is the beloved Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Who said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. In fact, he said, you shall die in your sins first. In the Gospel of John, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Would you stand to your feet, please? Father in heaven, I thank you so much, Lord, for this study. I thank you so much, my heavenly Father, for the people who literally have said they enjoyed the study, the Christian, because it shows so much about who we are in life and gives us answers sometimes to things that we're trying to reason. And Lord, we'll never be able to reason. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. Therefore, you have to follow me. And the Apostle Paul said, be your followers of me as I am also of Jesus Christ. Lord, I can't make anybody believe anything, but I believe this. If I try to be true to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit would do what needs to be done. Lord, you love people so much, and yet so many walk away. So many try to run their own lives, thinking that they know better. I did that at one time, Lord, my early life, after the church, sitting on a church pew. But I'm glad you didn't give up knocking, bringing all kinds of things for 3 years to my mind, lead me by people to that Sunday morning. The message was preached plainly from Romans. Help someone see that today. God, may it be our desire, wherever we're at, to be our best for you. Sometimes circumstances is like Paul. Sometimes Paul let Saul come up again in his life, but he knew what to do about it. He set it straight. Sometimes we let the old man come up when the new man wants to dominate. And the more he dominates, the more let him grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. The more humble he comes, the growing grace and knowledge of the Lord. And these things are needed in this life for people can see what happened inside. Honor yourself today. Holy Spirit, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ better than I can, and let someone see him as who he is. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.